Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry is delighted to bring you the Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling, where we test the beliefs of Christianity against the very words of Jesus that he gave his own eyewitness disciples. Join us for a unique and challenging study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven. Hello and welcome, everyone. My name is Dennis Neufeld, and I'm here with Rick Sterling with Dr. Don on the phone this morning. And we are delighted that you've taken a few minutes out of your busy schedule to join us for our program, The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling. We will be getting started there in just a few minutes, a couple minutes. Before we do that, I want to remind you of our websites. Our website, primary website, is located at spiritoftruthministry.net. There you will find lots of writing by Rick Sterling, including our book, The Spirit of the Church, by Rick Sterling and me, Dennis Neufeld. We also have a secondary website at spiritoftruthministry.net/S, capital T, capital M. Lots of good stuff there. Our Facebook page is located at Spirit of Truth Ministry Group. Mike will not be with us today. He lives up the mountain in a place called Forest Falls, and they had a big avalanche this morning on the north side that basically took out their water supply or parts of their water supply. So they're going up this morning to take a look and see what needs to be done to get the repairs started. Our thoughts and prayers are with all of those people who are up the mountain. Many people have been without food for quite a while, and they're actually helicoptering in food and supplies to these people. This is something that Southern California is in the main not prepared for, because we don't get snow like this very often. I don't remember. And I don't remember ever having it been this bad. So we are grateful that we live down off the mountain and are able to continue putting our program on the air today. Let's have prayer and we'll get started. Father in heaven, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, grant us a wonderful and a peaceful time together as we study to learn more about what you have planned for us, based on prophecies that have heretofore not been looked at. And I thank you for doing this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is March 4, 2023. Good morning, Rick.
This would have been my dad's 97th birthday.
And good morning, Dr. Don.
Good morning. Dad's 97th birthday.
Yep.
Okay,
yesterday I went with my granddaughter, my daughter and wife, to Knott's Berry Farm. And of course, my granddaughter likes the rides that go straight up and straight down, flip you around, doing barrel rolls and loops and what have you. And she's very, very persuasive in wanting her grandpa to join her in the experience. And so my 70-year-old back is still feeling the G-forces of those rides.
You know, it's interesting because it reminded me of many, many years ago when I was in pilot training and learning how to fly sailplanes. And I was able to fly with a F-4 Phantom pilot who had come to Tehachapi Airport, and they also did this out at Cal City Airport, where the commander of the airbase, the air group there, wanted his fighter pilots to get some experience in what it was like to simply use the momentum of an aircraft plus the thermals and all that stuff to stay in the air and to fly. And so I was able to fly with a pilot. I was in the front seat because the command pilots usually sit in the back seat. And I followed through. He said, I want you to go ahead and follow through. So I lightly held the stick and put my feet on the pedal. And he went through a series of aerobatic maneuvers that were just so much fun. And I never got to do that all by myself. But in a sailplane, this is essentially what you experienced at Knott's Berry Farm, because they mimic the energy transfers of an aerobatic airplane when they build these roller coasters. Otherwise, you'd fall off sideways, you know, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm glad you guys got a chance to do that, because I got to tell you, it is really fun. I'm not sure I would do it on a roller coaster.
My granddaughter has a very high opinion of me. She thinks she has the greatest grandfather in the world. And it may be painful to live up to the high expectations, but it's definitely worth it. We have a special bond, my granddaughter and I. And I have to keep my mind sharp, because she is sharp as a tack. And if I should ever be wrong about anything, she lets me know right away and corrects me. Speaking of right and wrong, I don't know if any of you have noticed what S blankety blank blank world it seems to be becoming. The concerted effort of evil, and I say evil as a category that I don't know that someone would just voluntarily become evil because they like their future. Most who become evil do so because they are coerced and in many cases bribed, paid, and people, when they speak about God and what God requires or doesn't, you would wonder why anyone would choose evil over God. There has to be something that happens in a person's mind that would lock them into the reality of practicing evil. And you might wonder why God, who is almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing, doesn't just react. And I do mean react, and hopefully you understand that react is not respond. React is something that you do in a situation that you never expected. And if you don't do something quickly, you could lose your life. God has a response to the intentions of the evil one. But that response operates according to a plan. And a lot of people question God and the reason is they don't understand how God needs to respond to evil. We've talked about the two realities. Now, there are more than just two, but for us here on Earth, there are two realities. One is what I refer to as the life road, a road where the people in this reality are blessed, protected, and the outcome or the destination on this road is eternal life. The other reality is an easy way, but you're lulled into a false sense of well-being because you're never truly and fully informed of what is happening on that road. So the road is easy, or at least seemingly easy, but the destination of that road is eternal death. Everyone starts out on that road. Everyone. The only one who did not start out on the death road is the Son of God. But he was on the death road, not part of it, to inform those who were on the death road they needed to get on the life road. And he talked about that. It's in Matthew chapter 7, I think. Yes, Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter by the narrow gate, since the road that leads to perdition, that's the death road, is wide and spacious. It's very accommodating and very easy to travel on. And many take it. Many choose it. But it is a narrow gate and a hard road that leads to life. And only a few find it. Notice he says, find it. This road is a road we are not born on. It is a road we must find. And the road, of course, is a spiritual road, one that we can't find it here on earth. It's one that we must find spiritually. And that is the only way to find this road is to follow the path of truth. And the truth will allow you to find the gate. And the Good Shepherd, the Son of God, has opened that gate so that all those who find it may enter. I'm sure that all of you who are listening have looked around what's going on in the world, and it seems like evil has the upper hand right now. Evil is winning. Evil only wins if the people who are not evil, they may not be righteous, but they're not evil. If only the people who are not evil allow it. The Israelites living in Egypt were not evil, but they were not righteous either. And that's the situation with everyone, with rare exception, who is born in the world. They know of God, but they don't know God. They worship the God they know of, not the God they know. God realizes this, and someone is not punished because they don't know him, but worship him thinking they do know him. The ultimate and final judgment will come when those people maintain their resistance against evil. God will prevent evil from subduing the whole world. It's only when people acquiesce to evil that evil can gain the upper hand. And what I mean by that is what we find in Revelation 13. Starting with verse 2, I saw that the beast was like a leopard, with paws like a bear, and a mouth like a lion. And the dragon, that's the devil and his spiritual group, had handed over to the beast his own power, his throne, and his worldwide authority. Now, his worldwide authority means that there isn't any part on the world that is not under his authority. I saw that one of its heads seemed to have had a fatal wound, but the fatal deadly wound had been healed. And after that, the whole world had marveled and followed the beast. They prostrated themselves in front of the dragon because he had given the beast his authority. And they prostrated themselves in front of the beast, saying, "Who can compare with the beast? How could anybody defeat him?" But what I see happening by the majority of the people in the world right now, and this is going on right now, they have taken a stand against the beast. Now, who is the beast? What is this beast? Because obviously the beast is a kingdom of the world. that has been authorized to function as the rulers of the world by the dragon who is the ruler of the kingdom of the world. But the dragon authorizes this cabal to subdue the people of earth, to bring them into the fullness of wickedness, to worship the beast or this world cabal, and by doing so, they are worshiping the dragon.
And they are being forced into submission by a variety of means, including a plandemic, including financial issues, including all sorts of things.
No, force is being used to try to bring.
Those people who acquiesce are acquiescing under duress. You always have a choice. And there are, as you put it, lots and lots of people who have rejected that in favor of the
right. So what
righteousness.
What I'm saying is, what is going on right now, the reality that we are in right now, is what the dragon and the beast whom the dragon has given his power as being described in Revelation as occurring during the time in which the trumpets, the seven trumpets, should be blowing right now. They should have started a long time before this. And I say that because what the global cabal is doing is working toward the same end that Revelation describes in chapter 11.
There was a timetable for all of this to happen. And you defined that timetable in the timing chart of the end. The last date on that chart when that could have happened was in 2019.
Well, that's the end
that
of the
would
Great
be,
Tribulation.
That would have been
the start
end.
Would have been in 2016.
2016. Right.
But the start of the process would have been in 2012.
2012, yeah.
So here's what I'm saying. In each road reality, there is a side of righteousness and a side of unrighteousness. And what I mean by that is, in the reality that Revelation describes, not the reality that Revelation infers, like the seven thunders and the trumpets and what we're going to talk about shortly in the bowls of wrath. The reality that we're in right now is the reality of the faithful, trustworthy, and wise enough servant. We are in that reality right now. If that servant had not been trustworthy and wise enough, he would have given up, and the reality that Revelation describes would have taken place. So it is obvious that faithful, trustworthy, and wise enough servant did not give up. I've told you that what the Son of God said about the Elijah who would come at the end, he would see that everything is once more as it should be. He told his three disciples on the way down from the mount to the transfiguration, you can find this in Matthew 17, he told them that the Elijah who was to come, who was coming in the future, would accomplish what God required from him. And obviously he would then have to know who he was, that he was the Elijah who was to come at the end. But God puts in the two realities for each reality. The two realities are the side of righteousness, which is the side of the kingdom of God, God and his kingdom, and the side of wickedness, which is the devil, which is represented as a dragon, his spiritual kingdom with the demons and so on, and then that composite beast. So the dragon has the reality he's trying to enforce, and God has the reality that will be if his selected servant, chosen servant, does what he is intended to do.
So there are two specific and different identifiable timelines. God wins wins in both.
Right.
And in each of those, there is a choice that this faithful and wise servant would make. The splitting part is, does he choose to remain faithful and wise, or does he choose to go the other way? And both of those prophetic streams are a function of what that person chose at that time, which is why we know that as of today, there will not be the events taking place on the timeline that would be called death road, because the faithful and wise servant did not choose that.
Yeah, it's the trumpet judgment. When you read the trumpets in Revelation, those will never happen. The seventh trumpet does, because that's the trumpet that announces the kingdom of God's triumph over the kingdom of the world. That's the trumpet that does that. And that's why that specific trumpet is in Revelation 10. The other thing is the seal, the seventh seal. That happens. The other six apparently don't. But the seventh seal is important because it's the seal that allows the book of life to be opened. So you may ask, well, Rick, what about maybe that your chart that didn't happen the last time, maybe it'll happen the next time? Well, you know, that's a fair question. If and that's assuming that you think I know what I'm talking about with the how to put the chart together. This July of this year, 2023, coincidentally, can be the start of another chart. So the and coincidentally, the king, the Son of God, would return on either one. So either he returns now or he returns in July if it works out that way. But for the reason I know that it's not going to happen on the chart is because the devil has already started playing out the final events of the end. And that doesn't happen for almost 4 years from this July. Whereas July of 2012, the 1,335 days from July of 2012, the 11th of July, the trumpets would have started in March of 2016. So if this July would be in play instead of the July in 2012, the devil has already started the work towards the mark of the beast. And so this July would be out because life is supposed to be going on as it normally has been when the Son of God would return, and it would start that 1,335-day process. So I can guarantee that, and the reason that I know that this July really is interesting, this coming July would be interesting, is as far as my chart and how I put it together and how I use the timing, because the end date that this evil cabal is putting forth as their final glorious subduing of the people of the world is 2030. And they call it Agenda 2030. You can look it up. And they're also talking about starting it in 2025. Well, guess what? 2023 to 2025 is what?
2 years.
So they're talking about exactly what could happen on this next time when the chart would work, but it isn't, because life is not going on as it had been since, well, like in July of 2012. Life was good. There weren't, 15-minute cities and ESG and travel restrictions and the pandemic that had
DEI, diversity, equity and inclusion.
Yeah, all of that. Nobody gave a second thought about the end of time in July of 2012. Well, except for us, but that's another story. So what I am saying is, and I cannot, I won't give any specific that it's, this is going to happen, but there's a very good chance that this month, the Son of God, the King of the Kingdom of God, could return. Now, he promised his disciples when he was leaving them.
Oh, and by the way, it might be interesting for our audience to note that the publication date of the timing chart of the end was June 7, 2010. So if anybody says, well, you could have just made this chart to fit, the past events and all that stuff, the date that it was published on our original website.
That's not the date it was made.
No.
That was in 2004.
I know, but what I'm saying is the date that it was published was long before the first event took place.
Right.
So this was not an aftermarket thing where you just decided you were going to make something fit past tense.
Right.
All right.
In John 14, actually it starts in 13. John 13, starting with verse 33. My little children, he's talking to his disciples. Very good choice of words, too. He's teaching them as if they were children, as if they knew nothing, and they were learning all this for the first time. I shall not be with you much longer. You will look for me, and as I told the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, love one another just as I have loved you. You also must love one another. By this love you have for one another, everyone will know that you are my disciples. The disciples are united love for one another always. If one of the disciples does not love any of the other disciples, they are not a disciple, a true disciple. Simon Peter said, Lord, where are you going? Jesus replied, where I am going, you cannot follow me now. You will follow me later. Now that could have two meanings. He didn't say I'm coming back for you here. He said you will follow me later. When the Son of God told the rich young man, in response to his question, what must I do to gain eternal life? And the answer was, you must keep the commandments. Well, which ones? Well, basically all of them, but, you know, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, and so on. He says, all those I have kept since my youth. What more must I do? So the Son of God said, sell all you have, give it to the poor, follow me. Follow. What do disciples do in those days? What did they do in relationship to the one who was teaching them?
They followed them. They lived with them. They ate with the person.
Listen to them.
And they would listen to them
every day.
You know, every single day.
Yes.
For hours.
So to follow someone, say, you know, on Facebook, when you follow someone, what is it?
That you can stay in contact with them via Facebook, and they will send you stuff, and you'll just keep reading it when it shows up.
I just saw this, and I thought it was interesting, you know, or pictures of family or something. So that's following, right? Following in the spiritual sense is you are learning from a teacher. You're not just following them to literally following them to a literal destination. You are following them spiritually. Of course, you're literally in the vicinity where they are, but you're following them spiritually and learning what they have to teach so that when you know what they have taught, you will be with them forever because they're teaching is with you. Even if they're gone away from you, you still have their teaching, so it is as if they are with you. You will follow me later. Peter said to him, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. lay down your life for me? Answered Jesus. I tell you most solemnly, before the cock crows, you will have denied me three times. Ouch. But true. You see, if Peter had really known, and we're talking about Peter, if Peter had really known his teacher, he would not ever have denied knowing him. You remember that night, it's described as he's warming himself around a fire, and one of the, there was a girl there that said, I know who you, you're the one who cut off the ear of the servant to the one of the temple officials. And he used four-letter words in swearing that he did not know the guy at all. Yeah. Son of God goes on, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God still. See, they were questioning. They were seriously questioning because they still thought he should be proclaiming himself king, taking David's throne. That's the whole reality that they were certain had to be played out. Listen, people, what reality are you being told needs to be played out? If it isn't played out, then it isn't happening. When Revelation says there are trumpets, by God there are trumpets. And if they're not blowing now, they will be. They will blow.
And
the Gog and Magog will come from the north and from the south, and there will be this terrible war, and it'll be Russia and Israel and the Middle East. And that has to happen because it says that in Ezekiel. And all this has to happen. By God, it has to happen. The disciples were questioning the reality that they were in because it wasn't fitting the reality that they were told to expect. And not only them, this had been passed on for generation after generation. Do you see how powerful your certain expectation can be? It can be so powerful that you flat out ignore what is happening and what isn't happening because you are expecting a reality because it's in prophecy, and that's what it says, and that's what your pastor says, and that's what your teacher said, and that's what they're saying, and that's what's been taught all along, and God does not change his word. If he said it's going to happen, it's going to happen. But yet, these are the same people that will accept Paul without any question, even though Paul totally contradicts everything that God said, everything that the Son of God said. It's because people want to be saved without having to become righteous. And it's plain and simple as that.
And they have been told for thousands of years that, well, and especially starting with Martin Luther, that righteousness has no bearing on salvation. And that, as we have found over the last years on this, in this study, that's a lie.
So the Son of God promised to return. And he will return. None of his 11 disciples are still here on earth alive, anyway. There may be one or two in the heavens among the 24 elders, but I don't know, except for three that for sure that would be among that group of the 24 elders. But he is coming back, and he could come back this month. He could go back anytime he wants, but it could be this month, and he may have given us the clues that he will be back this month. But I want to read this text first. It's found in Revelation chapter 15. And John is describing what he sees and what he hears, as he has in everything in Revelation. Starting with verse 1, Revelation 15. What I saw next in heaven was a great and wonderful sign. Seven angels were bringing the seven plagues. They are the last of all because they exhaust the anger of God. I seem to see a glass lake suffused with fire. And standing by the lake of glass, those who had fought against the beast and won, and against his statue and the number, which is his name. They all had harps from God, and they were singing the hymn of Moses, the servant of God, and of the Lamb. How great and wonderful are all your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are all your ways, King of nations. Who would not revere and praise your name, O Lord? You alone are holy. And all the nations will come and adore you for the many acts of justice you have shown. All the nations will come and adore you.
Don't we see that somewhere in the Daniel prophecy?
We see it in the Daniel prophecy, and we see it in the Revelation prophecy.
Yep.
We see it as the end point of both realities, the death road reality and the life road reality. Now, the death road reality, there can be people on it that will be given eternal life. The life road reality, there will be people on it that will be given eternal death. It's what they have to go through to get to that point. And what determines what we have to go through is the condition of the souls of the people, the soul of each person. God did not condemn Nicodemus for not knowing the truth. He did commend Nicodemus, I'm sure, for not siding with the evil cabal of Pharisees. God did not condemn the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, who had a question about worship and where the true place of worship was. And after saying that the true place had been Jerusalem, he said, "Time is coming and now is, where the true worshipers will worship neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem, but the true worshipers will worship in spirit and truth.
And Rick, there's a lot of people who believe that worshiping in spirit and in truth is holding to the practices of a specific religion. That, you know, like the Eucharist and like the you know, the Shabbat.
Well, tell me this
stuff.
Did Nicodemus truly know God?
No.
Did he know of God?
Yes.
Did the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman who was not a Jew, but worshipped on the mountain the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob?
Yes.
They're sitting at Jacob's well. She knew Jacob had dug the well and given it to her ancestors. Did she know God?
No.
Did she know of God?
No, yes.
Was she worshiping the God that she knew of?
Yes.
Just like Nicodemus was worshiping the God he knew of.
Right.
What did both of those lack? Because they were worshiping the God of Israel, and that is not in question. What did they lack? Truth.
Yep.
So you can worship the God of truth without knowing the God of truth, unless you know the truth. And the truth is not subjective to what you believe it is. The truth is what you have to find and learn and know. And I can guarantee you that it is not what you start out with. Nicodemus started out, but he thought he knew the truth, and he didn't. The woman at the well, she thought she had the truth, but she was unsure about why the Jews were saying that she had to go to Jerusalem. Because let me tell you, if a Samaritan woman went to Jerusalem, that she would be ridiculed and probably arrested for desecrating. So we're running out of time, and I need to do the. I'm going to go through the sixth bowl of wrath, and I'm telling you that the sixth bowl of wrath will never happen. But the evil cabal, the devil, the dragon, that system, they're trying to make happen what the sixth bowl of wrath describes. Now notice, by the sixth bowl of wrath, it's just about over. The seventh bowl of wrath, it is over. Inserted in that, which is the erstwhile war of Armageddon, inserted into that is this.
Give us a text.
Revelation 16, verse 15. This starts out with this. This is how it will be. Now, why would God say that? This is how it will be. It's almost like he's overriding what he just said about the final battle of the end, right? It's inserted in there. It's not a part of that. It's not a reflective thought like, well, here we are at the Battle of Armageddon. Well, it would have been good, you know. What about the guy with, you know, at the beginning there where it says it will be good for him if his master finds him doing this when he returns. But if he has given up, says, I don't know the day or the, you know, when my Lord will come or anything, and starts beating his fellow servants. So he's either feeding his fellow bond servants or he's beating them. We're told by the Son of God that this individual, the Elijah, will restore all things, will restore all things. This is how it will be. I shall come like a thief. Happy is the man who has stayed awake and not taken off his clothes so that he does not go out naked and expose his shame. What is he saying there? Happy is the man who has passed his test for righteousness. If he has passed his test for righteousness, unlike the man and the woman in the garden, he stayed firm and true to God, took him at his word. Believe me, this person here has to believe every word that God said and believe that the words that he has access to, which are in the Bible, are still accurate. And you can still rely on them. You don't say, well, you know, they've been translated and changed from one language into another, and they certainly have had to lose some of their authenticity because, well, just it's been so long. But he believes and he trusts. That's why he's called trustworthy. He trusts in God that if God still requires that we know what these words are and that we hold to them and not say, well, I guess I'll just try and be the best I can. He says that he will, when he returns, he will put him over all his possessions. Now that's a very important responsibility, to be the head administrator of everything that God owns, because God owns everything. So it would take a lot from an individual to get this far. But the fact that what we're seeing happen from the side of evil in the world right now, and what we're seeing from the side of those who have good intentions and a commitment to keep evil from gaining control of the whole world. I understand that the dream of Nebuchadnezzar is what we will, what we are in, and that the triumph of the kingdom of God is just around the corner. It could happen this month. It could happen this month. God typically does things at the start of his year, when he starts his year, which is the spring equinox. And the first month of his year is the first new moon on or immediately following the spring equinox, which this year, I believe, occurs on March 22nd. So the spring equinox is on the 20th of March. The new moon is on the 22nd. So we'll see what happens, because it seems like everything is going right there. Yes, these are indeed the days of Elijah.
Thanks, Rick, and thank you all for being here. We encourage you to join us a week from yesterday for another edition of the Bible on Trial, and a week from today for another edition of the Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling. On behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, this is Dennis wishing you a happy Sabbath. We'll see you all next time. So long for now.